I'm what most folks would call an evangelist, but I also call myself a children's missionary because about probably 75% of the work that I do is with children. And when you do a lot of children's work, you use Revelation 3:20 quite a bit, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Late one night I'm sitting in the comfort of my home, and I heard someone come knocking at my door. I rose up and pulled the curtain slowly to one side. There stood a man I'd never met before. When he looked my way, he had the kindest eyes I'd ever seen. He motioned me to open up the door. When I asked him what he wanted, he said only to come in and live within your heart forevermore. And in fear I told the man, just keep on walking. Thank God that night Jesus kept on talking. He said, if I could, you know that I would open it myself and show you all the blessings that's in store. Grace and mercy and forgiveness and a home in glory. But only you can open up the door. It's been 50 years since Jesus promised he would never leave me, since the night I opened up and let him in. And I tell my story everywhere my travels take me, that perchance I may some struggling soul to win. And if today you hear the Savior knocking, just listen close, you might hear him talking. He said, if I could, you know that I would open it myself, show you all the blessings that's in store. Grace and mercy and forgiveness and a home in glory. But only you can open up the door. Only you can open up the door. Another song? I have a string out of tune and it's bugging me. That's called the Hillbilly National Anthem. Oh, here we go. A young man, maybe it's this key. A young man left his father's house, lived high on the town, but when he ran out of money, none of his friends could be found. Thought about his father's house, where servants ate like kings, and he said, this highfalutin, wicked life just ain't for me. It's about time that I got back where I belong. It's about time I told my father I was wrong. I've spent all my inheritance and my dinner dates a swine. It's about time, it's about time. Do you think Jonah thought as that big fish swallowed him down that he was in the wrong place, headed straight for the wrong town? 3 long days and nights he had to think what he had done. And when that fish hit solid ground, he took off on the run. It's about time that I got back where I belong. It's about time I told my father I was wrong. Well, this brings a whole new meaning of the word seafood to my mind. It's about time, it's about time. Well, I wandered in the shades of sin, far from the shepherd's fold. I took all I could stand until I couldn't stand no more. With tear-filled eyes, dear Lord, I cried, come heal my broken soul. And as I prayed, I heard him say, my child, you're welcome home. It's about time that I got back where I belong. It's about time I told my father I was wrong. How long do you think Jesus will wait patiently in line? It's about time, it's about time, it's about time, it's about time.
You know, brother, you write most of your songs, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was good. Looking forward to hearing some more of that. I've worked them pretty hard already, but well, hopefully we'll get to hear some more tonight. And the kids, you guys are in for a treat. There might be some adults that want to go hear him rather than me this morning. That'd be okay. Well, again, it's good to have you. We have some visitors with us. Thank you for visiting with us today. If the choir could go ahead and come forward, and I'll make a couple announcements. They have a special song, so if the choir could come up and get ready for that. As they're doing that, this coming Saturday is the name of that, Jill said? Okay, I couldn't remember the name. God's Grace Soup Kitchen is this weekend, and Miss Josetta needs help with some food, right? And there's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you would like to be a part of that, how many do you think you'll need to help out with that? Okay, so we need 8 people. It can be guys, it can be ladies. If you'd be willing to cook, and what they need to bring is on the paper back there, and it's in the back. If you'd like to have a part in that on Saturday, we need 8 people to volunteer and make food for God's Soup Kitchen on Saturday. I said it right. Okay. All right. I'm terrible about these announcements. That's announcement number one. Miss Jonetta needs help with Saturday in the soup kitchen. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Number two, okay, is this coming Saturday this coming Friday at 6:30. It's the first time that we've done it since I've been here. We're having an adult Christmas party here. It's going to be laid back. Lord willing, we'll have a special visitor that night. I've been working on, and hopefully he can be there. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, and the only reason why I need a sign-up sheet, if you put your name down there and you can't make it, it's okay. I just need to know how much food to plan for. It's also in the back. It's just a good time of fellowship. We're going to have a white elephant gift, so it's any gift from $10 and under. If you bring that gift with you, we'll have some extra. If you forget, it's going to start at 6:30. We're going to have a time of fellowship. We're going to eat, and to help out, if you could just bring finger foods and just put down what you would want to bring, and then we'll take care of the main course. That's going to be this Friday at 6:30 at the Fellowship Hall. Then the following Monday, so we have one more Sunday to go, we're going to have all the kids up here at 12 o'clock, Maggie and I, and we're going to make Christmas cookies with the kids and decorate them. We need a few more sugar cookies. They need to be made and delivered next Sunday, okay? So we need a little bit more help with that. That's back there, and here's one more announcement. Every year, this church, for as long as I've been here, way before that, they got together and put cookie trays and fruit baskets together for the shut-ins. Now, how many dozen of cookies do you think you need for that? Beth, how many dozen cookies? So how many did we do last year, Jill Setta? Okay. So how many baskets? Right. So here's a big number. 72 dozen cookies, right? Jordan, are you up for that task? Okay, so let's say, we'll just round it off. We need 70 dozen cookies next Sunday. Now that's a lot, right? So if you can break that down, let's just do this. If you're willing to make 2 dozen cookies between now and next Sunday, raise your hand if you're willing to do that. We're gonna need a few more hands than that. You might need to want to use your feet. Okay, so just to give you an idea, we're going to need at least 20 people being willing to bake those cookies. And these are going to people in shut-ins, and this is an opportunity. I've had a chance to meet some of them, and there are people here that have never had a chance to meet some of them. What we're going to then do is bring them next Sunday. So you got all week, you don't have to do this now, but between now and next Sunday, you can bring those cookies with you next Sunday morning. Then we'll put them together, and after that service, that Sunday morning, we'll go. Is that right, Maggie? Are we going to put them together Sunday or Saturday? Okay, we can do that. Bring them on Sunday, and then we'll go right over there. We'll take a few minutes. We'll put them together, and then we need help delivering them. Now, this is not, I mean, what they used to do with this, it took lots of people, lots of planning. There's no way in the world we can pull this off unless everybody helps. But there's enough people in this room that there's no reason why we wouldn't be able to do that. So we just need 70 dozen cookies. We need them by next Sunday. Then we'll need some help afterwards to put them together and go out and deliver them. And trust me, being able to just stand at that door and let somebody know you care about them when they're not able to get out goes a long way. And it'll also go with this message this morning. So there's all kinds of sign-up sheets in the back. If you'll take a look at that afterwards, and I'd appreciate that. And that's all I have. We'll go ahead and have Miss Becky, if you'll come do the choir. Where'd you go? Oh, you're over there.
We need a song leader. First song.
Okay. Who's going to do the song? Oh, I'll just do it. What song are we singing?
79.
Okay. So the first song is the offering?
Yes.
Okay, so let's stand if you would, and we'll have the men come and get ready to take the offering. And anybody that cares about me will be sure to help me sing from where you're at. Can you do that for me? Give me an amen if you'll help me. Hey, I'm going to be singing by myself. What page are we on?
279.
279. Let me get there. Now, you guys are going to have to drown me out. You do not want... Brother Kermit. Where's Kermit at? Brother Kermit, can you come help me? No, you come help me. Brother, you're a preacher. You certainly can't be shy. You can help me get this ox out of the ditch, because it'll definitely be in the... I don't know if you've ever heard me sing, but there's a reason why they don't ask me to do that.
You've heard me.
Oh, you can sing. I've heard you. All right, ready? Wait, give me that page again.
Do the prayer first.
Okay.
Glory to the Lord.
All right, we got to pray. Okay. Hey, we're also going to need somebody else to help. Greg, can you come help take up the offering? I need one more guy over here. Lee, can you come help do that? Okay. All right, Brother Greg, when you get up here, can you lead us in prayer this morning?
All in prayer.
Okay.
All the time, Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the service we've already had so far, for the wonderful blessings James Ben does already, Lord. I pray you be with him, watch over him in the service next door, Lord. Watch over Brother Dave here. Have a good service here, dear Lord. I pray you bless this offer, Lord, for those who give, that we use it for your kingdom, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. we can, Brother Jordan, if you're ready, if all the kids can follow Brother Jordan and Brother Hamby, they're going to go across the parking lot, and they're going to have a special service for them there. We'll get let them take a few moments to get settled in. Also, they're going to go ahead and keep your kids over there for the rest of the day. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to need that lapel mic. Okay. After the service, if you'll just go over there and get your kids, that way we don't have them crossing the parking lot and getting run over. So they're going to keep them over there, and then we'll just go over there and pick them up. All right. Brother Hamby, do you need somebody to carry something for? Are you okay? Okay. Jordan, can you grab that suitcase for them? All right. There are little friends in there. Kids are going to have a good time over there. Okay. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would take them, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 61 just to start out with. I tell you, I don't know exactly how old Brother Hamby is. He's older than I am. But I do appreciate the fact that, God's given him a gift and he's still doing something with it, even older in life, right? I also appreciate guys like Brother Kermit that, are willing for me to pick on him in the crowd. You know why? Because long time ago, how long ago did God call you to preach? So it's been a while if he forgot.
It was about 60 years ago.
And no matter where he goes, he'll always be a preacher. And I appreciate the fact that I can just call on him out of a crowd, and he's just gonna do it because he loves the church and he loves the Lord. And God's given everybody in this room something. There's really no time to check out until you check out, right? And whatever that is doesn't mean one is more significant than the other. They're all very useful to the Lord. It's just using it for him, right? And I appreciate Brother Hamby. It's not hard. It's hard when his wife's not healthy, yet they're on the road every day doing this, and you pray for him. And he's made a lot of kids smile and be able to get the gospel to them. And invite somebody back with you this evening. I'm excited about seeing his chalk art and hearing him preach tonight. And, man, I enjoyed his songs, and especially the fact that he wrote them. A couple weeks ago, I started, and it didn't really mean it to be a series, but I started a message, and I opened it with this thought. What do you do when good people mess up? People that go to church, they're not atheists, they're believers, but sin has gotten the better of them. Those are times in your life where you ask the question, and maybe you've done this in your life. I know I have. You ever said this? Why did I do that? Knowing that you shouldn't have done it, trying to figure out how it even happened in your mind, and you go over these things, and we talked about what to do, how to keep that from happening. If you're in church today, then I believe that you have good intentions in mind. That you do love the Lord, or at least you're searching, or you wouldn't be here, right? We looked at what happens when good people mess up, and we also looked about repentance and what that looks like. And then this morning I want to focus on this. How do you help yourself, and how do you help other people that have messed up? Do you understand? This world is a very hurtful place out there. You do not have to live in it very long for it to touch you. Right? And maybe you're blessed and you had a really good family upbringing and a long line of that, but If it's not you personally, then it's somebody close around you. You've known somebody that's gone through a divorce, or you know somebody with a prodigal son and it breaks their heart that he's not home, or you've watched somebody you care about, or maybe it's even yourself and you look and you say, now how did I get to this point in my life? How did this happen? How did I get cold on the Lord? How did I at one minute in Sunday school, I loved him with all of my heart. I remember the day I got saved and I told my parents and then the preacher baptized me. And then years later, you find yourself so far away from that comfort zone. Well, how do we help ourselves and how do we help people heal? Now, this is a place of hope. This is a place that God's given us to meet with him. You didn't come here to meet with me because I can't help you. I came here for the same reason why you came here. And believe me, if I wasn't a pastor today, I'd be doing exactly what Kermit is doing today. I'd find some church and I'd go to it. Why? Because I need what church has. Because that old world out there will burn you. It'll hurt you. And then we need to know what to do with that. Right? And let's pray and we'll get going on this morning. Father, thank you for the word. I pray that you would help us. I pray for the kids. Thank you for Brother Hanby coming today. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a good time over there, that you would open their eyes and help them to see and help them to hear the truth this morning as he takes some time and does a service for them. Thank you for his love for family and kids. Lord, I just thank you for the Bible and I thank you for hope and what you offer us, and I pray that you would help us today. Lord, I too have spent times in my life looking at my past and questioning why in the world did I let that happen. I can beat ourselves up for eternity, and I'm just so glad that you don't do that. I pray you'd help us to learn from you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your love and forgiveness. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Just to give you a little bit of an idea about the heart of the Lord, Isaiah 61, and you'll also hear this mentioned about the New Testament, about the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And this is the reason why Jesus was sent, to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the opening of the prisons to them that are bond. Think about the group of people he's talking about reaching. These are vulnerable people. These are people that have been hurt by this world. Their feelings have been hurt. They've experienced the full onslaught of sin. And understand, sin is a destructive and corrosive force that destroys what God intended. He didn't intend people to be sad. He didn't intend for families to dissolve. He didn't intend there to be traps and snares in this world. Do you understand? It is not safe out there. There's things that young people can get a hold of when they're young that will chase them the rest of their life. No child. I mean, kids have to navigate snares and they have to navigate traps. And they have to navigate evil intentions from an enemy that hates God and hates him so much that the only way he can hurt God is to hurt what God loves. He cannot ever lay one finger on God himself. He can only go after that which is weaker than God, and that's you and I. And we are vulnerable to this world. And I want you to understand, look at the kind of people that Jesus said that he came to reach. He came to reach the meek. You know what happens after you touch the stove of this world and you find out that it's hot? It causes you to be a little bit meek. It causes you not to feel so strong about yourself, realizing that something can take you down. You know, one thing that you and I should never forget, nobody in this room is above falling. And that ought to scare everybody in this room. Because everybody can touch that stove and realize it's hot. Amen. And oftentimes that makes you meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Sin will definitely, it'll crush your spirit. It'll take away your joy. It'll cause you to feel like you are nothing and that nobody cares about you and you're worth nothing. And once the devil gets you in that rut, you then begin to care less about yourself because you no longer see any value in yourself. The devil and what he does to people devalues who they are. Christ has come to take a broken person and give them value again. And you know what kind of value? You look at the cross and what Jesus did so that he could save me. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up in this world. The moment Christ died for you, you have value. You are important. You mean something and can be something in Christ Jesus. No matter how low sin has taken you, Jesus can take you higher. Amen. And he came for the brokenhearted. The Bible says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And you know what the sin will do to you? It'll hold you captive. It'll tell you that no matter what you do, it's not going to get any better. It'll tell you that you just have to live with your problems and you have to deal with your problems. Instead of being able to find help and freedom in your problems, the devil tries to keep you bound. See, he came to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison. Now, who wants to hang around a bunch of prisoners? May I tell you something? You may look down at somebody that's done time in jail. You may not want to necessarily have them sit by you in church or hang out with you, but may I tell you something? Everybody in this room is a prisoner. You were born that way. You're guilty simply because your father was guilty. You ever heard somebody say this before? Hey, you're not careful, you'll turn out like your father. May I tell you something? Every one of us without Jesus will turn out like our father. And our father was Adam. And he disobeyed God, and that runs in our blood. But you can get a transfusion, amen? And then you can get adopted. You can put Adam in the past and hold on to something greater than that. And when you look at the attitude that Jesus had when he was trying to help people that were hurting, does that sound like somebody you could go to? Does that sound like somebody you could open your heart and tell them your deepest secrets? Well, of course, because he's covered the fact, he understands he's dealing with vulnerable people, and he understands in order to do that, he has to then come across to them as though he actually cares, and he does. Well, in our lives, if we're going to help ourselves and we're going to help somebody that we care about who has maybe walked away from the truth, who has reached out and touched the stove of this world and realized it has burnt them, what do we do? Well, in Christianity, it is so full of the Pharisees. Understand, the Pharisees, religious people, walked on that road and they saw that there was a man in a ditch that was beaten up and left for dead. And the religious people of the world walked right by him. Amen. Jesus wouldn't have walked by him. Amen. You know, they walked right by him because they honestly thought that they were better and did not want to be bothered and was somehow disgusted by his condition. The only way you could be disgusted by somebody else's his position is to forget yours.
Amen.
Every person in this room is why Jesus died. Because you cannot get to heaven on your own. That sin has to be paid for by somebody. You can choose to do it yourself, or you can reach out and trust what Jesus did on the cross. But, like Brother Hamby said, it has to be paid for. So, you know, when I was looking at Jesus and how he dealt with people, I want you to look at this, if you would. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just got really just 3 points from here. Ephesians chapter 4. And I want you to look in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt. Understand this, our old man is corrupt. That means the nicest person in this room, he had an old man, and that old man is corrupt. You pick in your mind who you think the most godly person in this room is, and understand that person has an old man, and that old man is corrupt. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You know what the problem is, the reason why people don't get help in church? Because we eat each other. We kick them when they're down. I mean, you know, I've certainly not been doing this as long as Brother Kermit. But I've done it long enough to hear this. People find out somebody else made a mistake. And when they talk about it, there's zero love in their heart about what happened. It's always got something to do, well, I told you, I knew, whatever. Zero love. Zero. If a person today can see a dog that's not fed and feel for a dog that doesn't have food, you and I have to feel for people that has gotten caught in a trap that we also have been caught in at some time or the other. And there has to be compassion, and there has to be care, and there is, and by the way, nobody in this room, everybody in this room has a story. And in heaven, we're all going to come to this conclusion. We're all sinners, every one of us. Amen. Not hey, he's a worse one than that one. Hey, we're all sinners. Amen. And we ought to remember that and ought to be around each other. So here it says here, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Oh boy, verse 29. If you're going to help somebody, it needs to be edifying. Do you know a person that's messed up already knows they messed up? The only person that ought to tell them that is the Holy Spirit. You know what my job ought to be behind that is edifying. Right? I mean, you know, a person can get so discouraged and just give up. A person can get so beat down by the devil they just don't want to try anymore. And that's sad. And we ought to edify each other. So it talks about edifying. You go down to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When's the last time we took our words and ministered grace to the person hearing them? Not condemnation. Listen, we live in a small town. Now, this is the first time I lived in a town this small. It's small. And you know what? What everybody has been told to me 100 times, everybody in this town knows everybody else's business. Okay? And unfortunately, that's pretty correct. And because we know everybody else's business, there's a lot of hurting people that hear the talk, hear the rumors, you hear somebody get a divorce, well, it's their fault. No, it's their fault. No, this happened. No, that happened. And man, they just run them through the mud. Somebody's kid goes astray. Well, if they'd have done this or they'd have done that, or if they would have did this or would they. That's not the time for that. Nor the place for that. What we ought to do is be able to say, hey, world out there, we are also not perfect, but when we do touch the stove of the world, that we have help, and it doesn't have to be the end. Do you know you can go on something that you regret in your life, and you can still bring honor and glory to the Lord? You can live a life that brings him glory. You can still be smiled on by a God who loves you. That's what grace is, right? So, you know, edifying is a big part of that. Now, keep going with me here. Let all bitterness and wrath in verse 31, and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And look at this. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And what is our example? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Who's you? Can you point to you real quick? Not me. Doesn't say, has forgiven me. He is speaking to everybody that is reading that verse. And he is saying, listen, the first step you need to do to be able to help somebody that's messed up is to do what Jesus did to you. Would you have come to Jesus and got saved if you knew he had a baseball bat in his hand and he was going to wear you out, Greg? No. Human nature would be, hey, let's go the other way from that. You would drew you to Jesus? Was it malice? Was it hate? Was it rub your face and everything you've done wrong? Is that what drew you to Jesus? What drew you to Jesus? Kindness like I've never seen in any human being. It was supernatural. A kindness that was given to me and I didn't deserve it. And if you want to help somebody that's been hurt by this world, do it with kindness. When Jesus came to me and saved me, he never once said my sin was okay. He never once said it didn't matter. No, what he said, David, in spite of what you've done, I still love you and there's still value in who you are. And if you'll let me, I can do something with that. If you let me, I can show the world who I am. If you let me, I can give the world hope through you. It's kindness. Just because you're kind to somebody doesn't mean you have to be okay with what they're doing. Just because you're kind to somebody doesn't mean you have to be okay with what they've done. What you're doing them is you're giving them the same thing Jesus gave you. You're giving them hope.
Man.
You're giving them a way out.
Man.
I mean, hope deferred does what? Makes the heart sick. You take hope from somebody. Why would you come through that door? If everybody in the town's talking about you, why would you want to go where everybody is? Well, and if you've had a bad experience in church, why in the world would you want to go back again? Do you know that there's all kinds of people in Scott County that used to? When you ask them why, it's because they had a bad experience in church. Why not give them a good experience? Why not show them that, man, the Bible is the Word of God. We're all sinners, and they got the answer. You know, God's the judge. Let him do that. Let's give them the message of hope. I do believe he can still help us. I do believe he can still help me, and I do believe he can still help you. Still going to fall. There will be other times in your life when you say, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And you too are going to need the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You too are going to need that love. If you would, really quick, go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, ready to every good work. Speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish. Well, now look at this. Why should you, look at what it says in verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. Why should you be gentle? Showing all meekness. Why should you show meekness? Here's why. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, what helped us? The kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That's what helped us. We were like that, so he's telling us, hey, don't be like that. Be gentle. Be kind. Why? Because you were guilty of this. And what helped you wasn't somebody with a baseball bat trying to remind you of every single thing. Yeah, even this morning, guys. You know, the devil knew I was going to preach this message. And it's funny what you can remember. What I wish I could get out of my head. Things in here that you wouldn't like. Oh, now you can judge me, but are you willing to let me open your head and look in there? Probably not. Ghosts that haunt us of things that the devil will remind you. You're no good. Look at what you did. If people knew, they wouldn't be your friend. If your wife knew, she'd leave you. If your kids found out, they wouldn't want to be around you. Now, all that stuff just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. You know what he's trying to do? Get you from doing anything. He's trying to get you to live in the past. He's trying to get you so down that you can't get up. And therefore, he wins. But do you know what helped that? I'm going to read that again. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Those two words, the washing of regeneration and renewing is an ongoing process. Thank the Lord with Christ like a starfish. I can lose an arm and the grace of God will help it grow back. Amen. I mean, God, the devil can come in and you can think you will never be happy again because of choices that you made. May I tell you something? In Christ, you can grow that arm back. In Christ, there is hope because he's kind. Now, you don't want to be on the other side of God in heaven having never trusted him, because at that moment you'll meet another God you want nothing to do with. But today, he's offering that kindness to you, which means I, therefore, as a receiver of that kindness, should then offer that kindness to you as well. So you want to help somebody that's messed up? Be kind to them. Here's something else, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and I just got two more to go. Deuteronomy chapter 3, in verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28. But charge Joshua, and Joshua's getting ready to go do what Moses wasn't able to do. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he will cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Now, when you look here, you know, these two words are not mentioned very often, but Joshua had a big task in front of him, something that Moses wasn't able to get done because of the people's hearts, which ended up spilling over to him. And now Joshua's going to be up there, and he's going to have to try to do the same thing Moses was supposed to do. You know what God told the children of Israel to do to Joshua? Now, you might think, is God enough? Is God everything you need? Yes, he is. But we're human beings. And Jake, I know God is all that I need. But it sure is nice to sit next to somebody I didn't know that cares. Right? Because if God is all you need, we as humans also need the interaction of other humans. And you know what God told Israel to do to Joshua? Told him to encourage him and to strengthen him. Because although Joshua had God, he was also going to need them. He could touch them. He could sit with them. He could see them. He lived with them. He needed their encouragement. Do you know if we're going to help somebody that's messed up? If you're going to get help yourself, you know what you need? You need the encouragement of other people. You need to know. And when you walk in this room, I mean, just to, hey, how are you doing? Good to see you, John. You know, I mean, you don't know what somebody's been through. Do you know? You don't know. Something that when I was younger as a pastor, this one widow lady came, and just by nature of, I'm not an introvert. I'm probably the opposite. So, you know, I'm a hugger. And one time, I reached out and I hugged this widow lady. Hadn't been to church in forever. And she sat there and she cried. And she said, I haven't been hugged like that since my husband went home. And I thought, how sad. You know what? If you don't want to actually physically hug somebody, you can hug them with words. And encouragement goes a long way. Nobody wants to be reminded about everything they've done wrong. God knows, and your conscience will do a pretty good job of that. In this room, we need to be encouraging. And this room, we need to let people know that there's hope. And there ought to be an army around anybody that's fallen, circling the wagons, giving them space to heal. You know, what happens is, somebody, the devil gets somebody, and then they get, well, I'll just go ahead and tell you the last point to this. Remember the story of the sower? And some fell. Well, let me just read you that, and I'll just wrap it up. Where is that? Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So you need kindness, you need encouragement. And here's the last one. You need protection. The same day when Jesus went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many times unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Okay, so you guys are familiar with this parable and you know what it's talking about. Do you know what you can do? Brother Lloyd, you can scare the birds away for them. They don't have to eat the seed. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and fowls came up and devoured them. Well, this morning, the seed's going out. And some may fall on the wayside. What happens to those seeds? Why don't they grow? The birds come get them. Who do we know later on is the birds? It's the enemy. Right? Do you know how you keep the enemy from taking the seeds on the way out of here? Be kind and encourage somebody. Chase away the birds, Lloyd. They don't have to eat the seed. We can chase them away. From the ones that are vulnerable that can't do it themselves right yet. You can chase them away. You know what else you can do? Some fell upon stony places. You can pick the stones up. They don't have to be there. Remove the stumbling blocks. Don't give anybody a reason not to come to church. Be the reason, one of the reasons why they come here. Because there's fellowship and there's friendship and there's hope and there's kindness. The Bible will do the correcting. The Holy Spirit will be the one that points out what we've done wrong. And he's faithful in doing that. We need to be the ones there that right after that are picking up the stones, giving time to the vulnerable so they can grow. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. Some fell among the thorns. You know what you can do with the thorns? You can get rid of them. They don't have to choke people. I mean, we can rally around those and the group of people that Jesus was talking to in Isaiah 61. Those are people vulnerable because of what the world will do to us. And we've all been vulnerable. You know what Jesus did? Remember that woman came in and started crying and washing Jesus' feet? And remember everybody's talking about her and she could hear that. And Jesus read their heart. And what did they say? If he knew what kind of person this woman was, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. That's the kind of people he was dealing with. All these self-righteous church people around there going like, look at her. You, do you know what Jesus did that day? He stood up and he protected the vulnerable. Nobody, Greg, was messing with that lady that day. Mm-mm. Jesus got up and he stood up for her. He says, listen, if there's any correcting going on here, I'm going to be the one doing it, not you. You're not qualified and you don't live good enough. I believe he told another group of people that same thing, huddled around another woman who was vulnerable. As they wanted to throw rocks at her and condemn what she's done, you know what Jesus did? He scared the birds off.
Amen.
That's what he did. He said, get out of here. Go. Leave her alone. You without sin, you cast the first stone. You know what the birds did? They left. It gave time for a wounded heart to heal. Gave time for a wounded heart to be strengthened again, to feel like they could even go out in society and that they're not trash. Do you know why no sinner is trash? Because God loves that sinner. And he came to save them. They have value to him. No value to the devil. He just wants to trample over every broken home he can get. But guys, if we don't get good about this in our own ranks, we will not be able to help them. Can't do it. Do you know what the army of God is? Misfit toys. Put together by Jesus Christ. The world didn't want us, but Jesus did. And I'm glad to be a part of that family, and I'm glad he's kind. And you want, what did Jesus say? What did those angels say? Peace on earth? What did he bring? I mean, you think they just got invaded by a bunch of angels. Would you not be a little intimidated as shepherds thinking, whoa. Do you know if he would have come with harsh words, and what did he say? I come to you with what kind of tidings? Glad tidings. He had to be kind, Lloyd, or they would have ran for the hills. They had to know that the apocalypse wasn't happening. I mean, who sees angels like that? You know what the angels said? Be not afraid. What is human nature when you come to God? My sin makes me afraid. You know what God says, Dave? Don't be afraid of me. I love you. I can help you. I don't want sin to do that to you again. Will you let me help you? You know what we need to do? When somebody messes up, say the same thing. Look, don't be afraid about going on with your life. It's not over. God can use you. And I love you. And I'll stand with you. I'll encourage you. And I'll be kind. It seemed to work with Jesus when he was around people like Zacchaeus and the maniac of Gadara. in the woman at the well. It'll probably work today.
Amen.
If we just give it a shot. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and ask ask ladies if they'd come, and we're just going to have a moment of invitation. Maybe there's somebody that you know that you're praying about this morning. Maybe it's a grandkid, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's somebody in your immediate family, and you know they're hurting. Would you be willing to just to bring that person's name up to this altar and pray for them this morning? And ask God to give you the chance to be kind. Now, I also want to tell you this morning that if you do have a broken heart, and it doesn't even have to be something you've done, it could be something that somebody's done to you. I want you to know something. You can find kindness at this altar with the Lord. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come as a piano plays.